Portions of the show may be previously recorded. Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I've been doing this for 32 years, and something happened yesterday, last night. It's so absolutely predictable. And they talk about all the time that, you know, sales is the transference of feeling. It's the ability for me to be able to get you to feel what it would be like to be successful, so you'd be willing to take action towards that feeling. And when this happened yesterday, it really kind of set me back for a second, because I take it so much for granted, I guess, is the reason it kind of set me back as I sit here now trying to think about it. And you say, well, what could that be? Well, it's not honey. Would you rush me into the bedroom and make sweet nothings to me? Would it? No. Was it, you know, hey, you know, our grandchild is a week, you know, older? No. It's, you know, there's, a, you know, boy, the yard looks great. The house looks great. All that stuff is important. But it has to be supported some way, shape, or form. This lifestyle, this quality of lifestyle that is supported through our home, our family, our generation, multiple generations, and everybody else that all of our businesses support, it all comes down to a simple little statement. As my wife walked into the kitchen last night and says, Del, your money's here. Your checks are here. Now, what she's talking about is about one quarter of my total income that I get paid by rent checks. I own a bunch of commercial real estate, and these big commercial companies send me checks in the mail on the first of the month. And they drop these checks on me every month on the first. Now, today's the first, but they always mail them on the 27th. So because commercial businesses realize that the rent is late, they owe late charges on it. So they don't. They send it on the 27th, and you get it by the 1st. Just so happened I got it one day early. But it's always in by one day early or the 1st. It's amazing how they've got it calculated to where it falls right in when it needs to. But here is a very large chunk of money in which I hesitate to even tell you how much, because this is only, say, one quarter of my monthly income. But it's so much larger than what you could even conceive. In fact, I would say it's probably more than most of you make in a year. And it's one quarter of my monthly income. Now, having said that, I don't tell you that to impress you, but to impress upon you that this is a big thing. When I get these checks in the mail, and again, it's only a quarter of my income, but when I get these checks in the mail, because they're pure profit, that's a net lease, I don't have any other expenses that go with it. So every dime who comes to me is mine, minus whatever income taxes that I have to pay on it. And so here it is, this giant chunk of money. And, you know, I know there's three other completely different forms of income coming into me this month, but I don't even think about them. I don't even worry about them, because this form right here provides me more income in a month than I ever made in corporate America in a year. Now, let me repeat that. This one quarter of my income, this form, this one form that's one quarter of my income, provides me more income in a month than I used to make in a year when I was in corporate America. So what does that do for one? It takes the pressure off. Sure, I'm waiting for the other stuff to come in, but it's irrelevant. I mean, irrelevant's not the right word for it. It's not stressful waiting for it to come in. I am totally satiated for my needs. In fact, overly satiated. But I'm telling you this again, not to impress you, but to impress upon you. I wish I could give this feeling to you Some of you would get this feeling with a $5,000 a month payment. Some of you would need a $10,000 a month payment to get this feeling. Some of you would need $20,000 a month to get this feeling. Whatever that number is, to know that if I got that much in the mail at the first of the month and it was a net profit situation, I'm done. I'm secure for the rest of the month, no matter what my job pays me, no matter what my 401 makes in profit or loss, no matter what anything else I have does, I'm done. I know I am. I'm secure. My boss fires me today. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'll get another job if I want one. Right? If my 401k, the stock market takes a dip, I don't care. I'm not going to sell anything while it's down. Why? Because I have income. I'm not in a position where I'm forced to sell when it's down because I need the money. I'm safe. What is the most important reason for some of us to save and to invest? It's to be safe. That's because I'm a conservative individual. In fact, there's two different kinds of people in this world, those running away from fear and those running towards motivation, towards goals and desires. I have always been a running away from kind of guy. I'm a conservative. I'm more worried that I don't lose. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, go back to rule number one and don't lose money. Rule number three, don't let anybody else get you to lose money. Boom. That's my belief system. Now, if I've got all that security under me that I'm not losing what I already have, then I'm interested in going out and seeing what I can make. Other people are different. They're gamblers. And that's why they go out and speculate. That's why those people, when they go into real estate, go into wholesaling, flipping, buy, remodel, and flip, right? They're out there doing something where they're trading time for money, for one thing, but risk for money, for the other. In other words, it's a gamble. Now, right now, there's a whole lot of those gamblers that are going to get whacked because of the increase in interest rates, the Fed's desire to pull back the economy, the constant upward growth cycle and graph that we've been living with for the last 5 years, massively fast growth cycle we've been living with for the last 5 years. That thing's slowing down. And so it hasn't reversed yet, but it's slowing down. And if the Fed keeps raising interest rates like they say they're going to, or that they wish to do, then what's going to happen is it's going to eventually slow down to a halt. And go further than that, then it's going to reverse itself and start going down. And all the time, these speculators are going to be screaming and crying and hurting and moaning. And you're going to hear there's real estate crashes and problems and people are losing money. And you know what I'm going to get? Checks in the mail. Every single month, more checks in the mail. I own apartment complexes. Right now, apartment complexes are 98% occupied. 98% occupied. There is a difference in the psyche between people that are conservative and people that are optimistic, and maybe even optimistic isn't the right word for it. There are people out there that are something for nothing, instantaneously, gratificationally diseased, people that want something without doing any work for it. So what do? They speculate in life. I see it all the time. See it at different levels. I see people buy homes and hope they go up in value, you know, not thinking about the fact that did they buy the right home? Did they turn it into a rental property to do anything positive with it? No, they just bought it hoping to go up in value. I've seen people do things like buy the stocks and watch the stocks go down, hoping they'll go up. You know, remember, what is speculation? It's the greater fool theory. It's hoping that you can buy something no matter what it is. Piece of paper called a stock certificate or a bond or a rock called a piece of gold or a piece of silver. You buy something and hope that somebody out there is dumb enough to pay you more for the same thing. You say, well, why is that dumb? It's dumb because it's worth what it's worth. It is what it is. And that value is subjective to gamblers and what gamblers feel something's worth. It's not real. It's not the reality. Because if it were the reality, it wouldn't change. And if it did change, it'd be very, very, very slowly in time. Right? Or it would be because of some specific thing, like they ran out of gold or they ran out of silver. And they're coming back to you going, you know, there's no more of this stuff ever. And so it's got to go up in value. But most of all the price changes out there in the marketplace is speculatory. Or speculative, I think is probably the better way to say it. And I don't think speculatory is a word, but we'll try speculative, which I know is right. And when you go out there and you look at these people doing this stuff, you wonder yourself, why are they doing it? They're insane. You say, well, Dell, no, that's dumb. Everybody's in the stock market. Oh, I know that you think that. But let's talk about what everybody else does. Let's talk about speculation at its form that you begrudge. Do you begrudge the guy that goes to the horse track every day and gambles away his life? Well, you're gambling away your life by putting the money into 401k, hoping it's going to go up in value. Remember, buy, hold, pray. That's what you're doing. What does the guy do when he goes to the horse track? Buy, hold, and pray that he wins. You can go to the casino, buy, hold, and pray. The one I love is the gas station. I go to the gas station, and inevitably, I have to calm myself down because you know you get in there, you want to get in and get out. You go into a convenience store because you want to get in and get out, get what you want and get out, right? But I have to calm myself down because there's always inevitably a line of three or four people that are doing scratch-offs. They're doing these lotto ticket things, and they give them $5 or $10, $20, whatever they have left over in their life from their paycheck. They go over and they buy their lotto ticket, which is this is their chance to become rich in their mind. And they'll have five or six or eight of them. They'll scratch five, six, eight of them, get nothing. And then one of them will get, oh, free lotto ticket or $5 or $10 win. Guess what they'll do with that? They'll go back and buy more lotto tickets. And just watch and you see people throwing money after money after money into lotto tickets. And you go, wow, that's just like somebody throwing money month after month after month into the stock market, into the 401k. They just don't get it. They're just gambling whatever little amounts of money they have in life. Now, if I were that poor person at the gas station, I would take that small amount of money. I'd go buy me something that I could work with. I could use it as a tool and go earn money. And one of the things you notice all the time, you got people, their day laborers out there. They have no tools. They got lotto tickets, but they have no tools. They have cigarettes. They have no tools. They have drugs, alcohol. They have no tools. First thing I would buy would be a tool. And I'm standing there in the day labor thing, and I got my own tool. And the guy goes, man, get in the truck. You know, you got a tool. Get in the truck. And I'd be the first to get the job. And the next amount of money, I'd buy another tool. And I'd save a little bit of everything I earned every day and eventually buy my own truck. Then I'd be driving around picking up those people at the day labor spot, going out and doing jobs, getting paid not only what my time is worth, but what their time is worth as an overhead. And I'd produce a business from that. Pretty soon I'd own a landscaping company. And pretty soon I'd own a construction company. And pretty soon I'd own real estate, and I'd own rental houses, and then I'd own apartments, and I'd be rich again. And so no matter where you throw me in the bottom of the ditch, I would find my way back up again by doing the things that I did to come up the first time, right? And so it's a simple series of steps that are all predicated on one basic and more important point, and that is you believe that buying and holding assets is more important than spending money on the next something-for-nothing shot at the world. There used to be these midnight seminars gurus on TV, Dave Del Dotto, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, The Mileage, Ron LeGrand, Carlton Sheets, Robert Kiyosaki. Even Donald Trump had a Midnight Madness seminar on TV where they would sell you this concept to come to these seminars, and they would sell you books and tapes about how to buy real estate, nothing down, and all this craziness. This is the reason I got into this business. It's because they were ripping people off with these something-nothing ideas. And what they didn't understand was what I understood is I just bought some rent houses. Operated the rent houses, made a lot of money. That was just so simple. I don't understand why they couldn't see that. But they didn't. Everybody out there wanted the something for nothing. And so when I changed the entire world and created a training program where we simply taught you to buy a rent house and own it and hold it and make money from it, and then buy a fourplex or a duplex, and then move up to a fourplex, and then move up to a sixplex, eightplex, tenplex, twentyplex, thirtyplex, fortyplex, fifty, et cetera, all the way up to 800-unit apartment complexes. When we taught that format, then the people in our course started getting wealthy. They begin to have enough passive income to be able to retire, leave their job, and live the life they want. But it was based on and predicated on this theory. The theory was you buy income-producing assets and you hold on to them. And you don't speculate about trying to buy low and sell high, or buy high and sell higher, or whatever seminar you went to about how this all works, or whatever your parents taught you, or whatever it is that you thought was the way the world logically worked. And the one thing I'll give you before we go to break, and that's this. The one thing I've learned about this business since I got into it and have been teaching it is that it's oxymoronic. What does that mean? Whatever you think is the right way to do this business, it's probably the wrong way to do this business. And with that, we'll take a break and be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's gonna crash. It's gonna be better next year. I've gotta listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me and tell me, you know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I've been talking about how beautiful it is to get rent checks in the mail, money in the mail. Mail money, I guess they call it. And how you don't do that, how you don't get that if you're a speculator. Speculators buy low, sell high, and sometimes buy high and sell low and lose a lot of money. But right now we're in a marketplace where people are starting to wonder what's going to happen as they keep raising the interest rates. Is that going to push the prices up? So let's talk a little bit about that, and let's talk about where this marketplace is going. And as someone who's buying rent houses because I want the cash flow, or buying businesses because I want the cash flow, I want to talk about what's realistic, because people starting to think, well, it's going to crash. There's no such thing as crash unless the banks crash, okay? And we are so far away from the banks crashing, so far away from the people crashing and being broke, completely broke, it's pitiful. But let's talk about that for just a second and see what I'm talking about here. There's an article here that says home purchases continue to slide, but prices keep rising. Interesting, huh? Drop in home sales reflects a new mortgage rate climb. home buying has cooled off significantly, with the overall sales volume shrinking by 15% between January and April of this year, directly correlated to the recent mortgage rate surge. Higher borrowing costs are weighing on buying activity, supporting an increase in available inventory. From July of 2021 through February of this year, okay, July of last year to February this year, when financing was extremely favorable, the number of homes ready for the market, steadily declined. So in other words, what happened was, is that when financing was very easy to get, people were buying everything they could get their hands on, and the availability of something to buy went way down. Now in April of 2022, the for sale count of existing homes rose for the second straight month. The inventory is still low by historical measures, requiring an addition of 650,000 more homes to match the availability level of 2019. The historically small for sale pipeline is sustaining the swift price growth trajectory, even as buying activity wanes. So let's talk through that. What does that all mean? It means that we're living in an era where there's so little inventory and so much money and so many people chasing that small amount of inventory that the prices are staying high. So as the interest rates go up, the volume of sales is starting to go down. And as the volume of sales start to go down, then what we're finding is that the inventory is starting to rise, making it more and more available, right? So I went and had us look up what that availability for sale was, and it's rather interesting. We buy, and this is something else you need to understand, the median price right now is almost $400,000. So we're not even messing with all that stuff. We're only buying houses from $150,000 and down, typically, maybe $160,000, $170,000 at the most, but this is our typically where we're at, it's $150,000 and down. So I looked up today, what were the number of available homes for sale in each month over the last 4 years? And so if you look right now, we have only 613 homes in Houston, Texas available under $150,000. That's not very many. In January of this year, we had 816. So the supply has gone down. Let's look at last year. Last year, this time, the supply was 912. In 2020, though, the supply was 2182. In 2019, the supply was 2379. And in 2017, the supply was 3238. Now, I've got to ask you a question. We've gone down to only 613 homes from 3,200. And let's see if I got that right or did I misread the line there. From 3,238. So the question is, were we in a recession when there were 3,238 homes for sale in our price range? And the answer is no. We were in absolutely great condition. The market was perfect. There was a supply of homes and a supply of buyers. So what I want you to understand is that you're going, oh, my gosh, prices are all going to drop and I'm going to need to wait to go buy. No, prices may not continue to rise as quickly as they have been. They may not even rise at all for a while as the market reestablishes itself. But in reality, I heard a guy the other day on the radio say the real single-family residents are going to go crashing down. No, they're not. There's still too many people wanting to buy them that have money. Now, the number of people that can afford them is going to go down, so the number of them that are going to sell is going to slow down. But because there's still not very many of them available, the prices can't go rising way, way up. I'm sorry, way, way down. They cannot fall way, way down because just as soon as they fall below a certain price, $100 less, $1,000 less, $5,000 less, $10,000 less, $20,000 less, you name the number, whatever the secret number is, then the investors are going to swoop in and buy them all up again. They are not going to stay. They are not going to get in a situation where there's too many properties for too few people to buy, even if interest rates go up. Because as the interest rates go up, so is the rent to live in these houses. So if the rent continues to go up, interest rates going up isn't going to affect what an investor has anyway. What it's going to affect is a beginner homeowner who can't afford to qualify for a home. And as beginner homeowners cannot qualify for homes, they're going to be forced to do what? Go back to the rental market. And when they go back to the rental market, what's going to happen? That's going to drive the rents up. And what's going to happen? Inflation, of course, is occurring all the way around you. This rent increase is just part of the inflation. You're not going to see it as anything unnatural. It's just going to happen. And for whatever reason, because the rents are higher, then even though the prices haven't gone up, the interest rates going up, which would make the mortgage payment higher, they're going to be offset by the higher rental payments. So single-family houses are not going to crash, not unless the Fed destroys the banks, making money basically worthless, and the banks then just stop lending and all this other stuff. They start foreclosing on everything and blah, blah, blah. But that's so far away from where we are right now, I wouldn't even think about it. And if it did happen, by the way, I would be happy because I'd be buying all the way down. But that I don't perceive happening. What I perceive is it's just going to go back to a nice, more balanced market where buyers are not overpaying for properties. So, well, why are you saying buyers overpaying? Because they're paying prices that are so high that somebody is listing it. In other words, here's how you list a house. You look up what everything else sold and you list it for what that sold for. But sellers are listing houses for $300,000 and they're getting offers of $3.5, $3.10, $3.15, $3.20 because eager buyers, homeowners or investors, are wanting those properties so badly. The demand is so high for those properties that they're willing to bid higher than what the list price is. And so then they got to go get them financed. And as they, each one of these that get sold a little bit higher than the last one, then the average price in the area goes up. The appraisals go up. And as the appraisals go up, the lenders will lend more money. And that spiral just keeps going. And that's how we've gone from a median price of $150,000 in 2008 to almost $400,000 right now. $397,000 is a median. That's insane. That's way, way overpriced. That's almost 80% increase in the last 10 to 12 years. That's insane, right? But no big deal. Now what happens is they raise the interest rates, they cool the market back down to normal, and people start paying what the fair price for the property is. You go out there, you do a CMA, everything that's selling right now is selling for $380,000, and you offer $380,000, right? Now, if you got a guy that's got a distressed property, and this is where we come into play, and the property shows CMA-wise it's worth $200,000, but it's in distress, we may buy it for $150,000. My first house I bought was $25,000. I put $2,000 down on it because that's what houses cost back then. It was $2,000 then, was as much as $25,000 now. It's the same inflationary type difference, no difference in once you add the inflation back. And I made $200 a month positive cash flow. Now you'll make $500 a month positive cash flow. I bought one. I had $200 a month positive cash flow. My broker said, what do you think of that? And I go, I like it. He goes, okay, you want to buy some more? I said, yes. He said, how many more? I said, three more. He said, why three? I said, because that's all the money I got. So I bought three more the next month, and I had $880 a month positive cash flow because I actually was $220 a month. So I had $880 a month positive cash flow. And that really changed my life. I really thought about it. I go, man, that's my mortgage payment, and that is my car payment, both tied together. I'll never have to make a mortgage payment, a car payment ever again. Now that I got these, my tenants are paying for me to live and to drive. I said, now, if I had one for my electricity and one for my water and, you know, one to pay my gas, you know, electric gas, you know, one to pay my food, one to pay my clothes, I could retire And so I created this concept called chunking, and I started buying these rent houses. And I think I bought like 11 rent houses, which gave me a little under $2,000 a month positive cash flow, $2,000, $2,500, something like that. Then I bought five duplexes. So I went from having $2,000 a month, those five duplexes, which was 10 units, bought me another $2,000 a month. So now all of a sudden I had $4,000 a month. Well, the beautiful thing about $4,000 a month was I was making $70,000 a year, and $70,000 a year after taxes is $40,000 a year, and $40,000 a year is $3,600 a month, take-home pay. So within just 2 years, 2.5 years to be exactly, I quit my job because I had replaced my earned income with passive income. Now, I'm not suggesting that you all go out there and quit your job, but I'm all suggesting you get yourself in a position where if your job quit you and they let you go or fired you, you wouldn't even miss it. I'm also suggesting to you that when I had the extra income, I was able to buy more real estate and continue to grow my wealth. And once I got up to $4,000 a month of income and I was living on $36,000, I now had extra money that I could save. And each and every property I bought after that made me more and more and more and more and more and more money. And it got to the point where I was eventually making $10,000 a month, tax-free income. Whereas I was taking home $3,600 a month before, I'm now taking home $10,000 a month positive cash flow. And at that point, I was psychologically, I was done. I was retired. It was over. Not only was I retired, I was doing very, very well because I never dreamed of making more than $100,000 a year. And in corporate America, I never made more than $70,000. So, you know, $10,000 a month, not bad for a guy without a college education. I mean, I took a couple years of college, but I didn't get a degree. So I was pretty happy with that. The thing I didn't realize was every year after that, for the rest of my life up until today and this year, because I just closed on two more real estate deals a week or two ago, whatever it was. It goes so fast. I keep buying more. And every time I buy more, it puts more income into my pocket. And the size of deals I buy now, every deal I buy now puts another $10,000 a month in my pocket. So I bought two more deals, that's $20,000 more that goes into my pocket. And you go, but you don't need any more money than that. So I know I don't need any more money, but I got all this money I'm making. I don't have any place to spend it other than the security of saving it and investing it. Do we have everything we want? Do our kids get everything they need? Yes. Do we give them everything they want? No, because I don't want to spoil them, but we give them everything they need. And it's important that you have your financial morality, that you know what is good and bad about money, so money doesn't become your religion, it doesn't become your God, but money is good. And what I wish, if I could do anything, was share with you a month or two the feeling of having the amount of money you earn at your job come in the bank or come in the mail, and your wife come in from, honey, the money's here. It's over. We did it for the month. It's done. First of the month, we got our money. All right, what are we going to do the rest of the month? Wouldn't that be a nice thing? That's what I'd like you to feel. If I could get you to feel those feelings, then I know you'd never go back. Then I know you'd listen to what I have to say. But the reality of trying to help other people in this world is this. Rule 1437B-7. No one will ever listen to a thing you say once they've seen you without your clothes on. And what I mean by that is familiarity breeds contempt. You've met me. You've seen me live. You know who I am. I'm just a normal person. I'm not some super genius, super smart guy that's got all the secrets. I'm not a Warren Buffett. I'm not a TV star. I'm just a guy that figured out how to do this all and is taking the time to show those who are willing to listen how to do it also. But you have to be willing to listen and take action. Both those are important, because if you don't listen and you take action incorrectly, you're going to get wiped out. On the other hand, if you listen but don't do anything with it, it's not going to do you any good. So you have to be willing to both listen and take action. How much action? Whatever amount you're willing to put into it. The more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. But you put in what's necessary, and then it grows. And as you grow it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, unlike your job, you don't have to keep working harder. The work is all up front. You put the work into buying it and dealing with getting it done. Then it produces for you the rest of your life. That's the secret to passive income. Hope you all have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.